You're listening to a message from Island Christian Church at the Northport Campus. Ordinary people, extraordinary God.
This is a special time when I heard the Christmas pageant. I heard a little bit of the rehearsal. I heard also Pastor Lee sent me a copy of that final song because he said that's going to be the last thing that happens before you speak. And you ever get an earworm, you know, something that just stays with you? Well, that song kind of stayed with me, and it's a good song to stay with you because it's really kind of a challenge. What are you going to do with Jesus? I just going to talk about this Jesus for a couple minutes this morning. And if you think about it, we tend to freeze people in time. I remember my wife needed an operation, and she said to me, "Mike, will you come with me to the surgeon, you know, for the office visit before the surgery?" And I said, "Sure, I can do that." And so we get there, and as we're kind of being ushered into the room where we're going to meet with the doctor, we're walking down this corridor, and she says, "Oh, that's the doctor there." And I looked at this guy, and he looked like a kid. I mean, you know, we got into the exam room, and I'm around looking at the stuff on the wall. When did this guy graduate from medical school anyway? And did he go to a good one? And how old is this guy? Is this his first surgery? I mean, somebody has to be every doctor's first surgery, but I don't want it to be me. I'll just say that. And I certainly don't want it to be my wife. And he was so young. And I guess that's one of the ways you know you're getting older. When your physicians are younger than you are, usually that's an indication that you are kind of moving up the age category there. And that is certainly true for me these days. But he was a competent guy. Everything worked out great. But I tend to freeze kids in time because I see them like up here. But then they grow up, you know. And so I'm at the hospital in the emergency room. And one of the kids who is up here is asking me vital questions about my health as they're asking me about health things in the emergency room, you know. And another one of our students who was just here a few years ago is now, along with many others in our church, serving the Lord, defending our freedom. But this one happens to be on an aircraft carrier in the Persian Gulf, on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier. And I'm thinking, wow, I knew that kid when he was just, you know, in diapers. And, you know, you think about others who are, you know, who are getting married and having children and raising families and raising up the next generation of disciples and pursuing careers. And I'm on LinkedIn. And probably I'm connected to some of you on LinkedIn, but I only go on about every month. But every time I go on, I'm looking at kids who I thought, wow, they have a career, you know? I can remember when, you know, they were a youth group. So anyway, we tend to just kind of freeze people in time. And the important one we don't want to do that with is Jesus. We don't want to freeze Jesus in time. You know, we think we understand the Christmas story, the manger, and he was just a baby. And this Jesus did come with a momentous mission, and he fulfilled it. He fulfilled that mission. And it's kind of told to us in Galatians chapter 4. And it says, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Galatians, he said, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons." And so right at the beginning, we realize this baby was on a mission. He was the answer to the prayers of many for the Messiah to come, and he came in the fullness of time, and now he is on a mission to redeem those who are under the law that we might receive adoption. And under the law means the law is over us, and when the law is over us, it's condemning us because nobody can keep all the law. Nobody can keep all the law. And most of us think, well, I know I don't keep all the law, but I do some good stuff, so that kind of balances it out. But that's not how God works. That's not God's plan. So Jesus, he started as a baby. He started as a baby, but he didn't stay that way at all. His was not a drive-by redemption. He could have, if you had a publicist who was going to do this for you, he'd say, look, I've arranged everything. You're going to meet with a few close followers Thursday evening, okay? Friday you'll die. We'll take care of that on Friday. On Sunday, we'll get you back to life again on Sunday morning, and then Monday we'll get you back into heaven, okay? All set. It's going to be a quick, kind of a long weekend. But Jesus didn't do that, did he? He came to earth. He lived into his 30s. He understands what you're going through. And the fact that he came as a baby shows that he understands you and he understands me. But he didn't stay a baby. He grew up, and as an adult, he did something nobody else has ever done. Nobody has ever done this. He predicted his death. Other people have done that. But he also predicted, I'm going to come back to life, and he predicted it, he would do that, and then he pulled it off. In Mark chapter 8, I wrote down the scripture here. It says this. No pulpit this morning. Oh, there it is, I think. Can you read it off the slide? Okay. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. He did that. He said, I'll die, but I'm coming back to life in 3 days. Nobody has ever done that. Nobody has ever done that but Jesus. And so what do we see from that? We see that he was born as a baby, but he became the Savior of the world. Why did we need a Savior? Well, because we were under the law, and the law is condemning us, and God cannot just ignore the law because the law is an expression of what's right. But he himself took the penalty of our sins, and when he died on the cross, he paid it in full so that we could receive the gift of eternal life. So that we could receive the gift of eternal life. And sometimes, you know, we think that song, what are we going to do with Jesus? We think, okay, I get the birth, okay. I heard that part about Jesus going to the cross for me. But you know what? We don't want to leave him there either, because Scripture reveals that Jesus has a second coming. And here's what it says about his second coming. It says that, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. He's coming back. And it's going to be a striking contrast to the way he came. You know, when he came, he came as a baby, very helpless in the sense of a baby. He's coming back as a warrior on a white horse. He's going to be in glory and great power. You know, when he came unto his own, but he came as an individual, almost in isolation. But when he comes back, the Bible says he's going to have all the angelic hosts with him. All the angelic hosts with him, and he's going to come back in great power and glory. They mocked him and put on him a crown of thorns when he died. But when he comes back, he's going to have a crown, all right. It's going to be a crown, it says, with many diadems. It's going to be a glorious thing that befits the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so that baby that was born in that manger in Bethlehem, don't leave him there. Don't leave him on the cross either, because he did die on that cross, but he was raised on the third day. And don't leave him there either, because he's coming back. He's coming back. And it says not to deal with sin, but to save those who were eagerly waiting for him. Eagerly waiting for him. So I know this. When he comes back, every knee will bow. Every knee. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And you know why that's going to happen then? Because nothing else can happen. Because when we see the Lord the way he really is in all his glory, that's the only thing that can happen. But it has to happen in order that we be eagerly waiting for him. It has to happen voluntarily right now. It has to happen while we're in the in-between period between when he left for heaven and when he chooses to come back, whenever that period is going to be. We have the opportunity. As that song said, this could be a day that changes your whole destiny. This could be the day that changes your whole destiny. What will you do with Jesus? Because one of these days, every one of us is going to stand before him, and we're going to ask, like they asked on the song, well, what will you do with me? What will you do with me? Would you stand for closing prayer this morning? And I'm not sure how you had responded to that song, but I want you, I would be joyously happy to see that everyone here today would make Jesus their Lord and Savior. And I know for many of you that is true, and it's been true for a very long time, and hallelujah, hallelujah, because you're the ones that he's coming back for that are eagerly waiting for him, eagerly waiting for him. For some of you, you might say, no, I'm working at it. I'm hoping that I'll be okay, but hope is not a strategy when it comes to your spiritual destiny. I don't want you to be hoping in the wrong thing, and if you're hoping in what you can do, misplaced hope. Hope in what Jesus did. Hope in what he did for you. And we can release our faith in the Lord through prayer. And I'm going to lead in a prayer. If it expresses the desire of your heart, I just encourage you to just pray it. Whisper it to God right after me. Just say, Lord, I'm giving up on doing it my way. Of trying to earn my way into your good graces. Right now I'm turning to you, believing that you love me and that you died on the cross for my sins. Please come into my life and make me a new person from the inside out. I need you. It's my desire to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And while we're just quiet here, if you just for just a moment, just keep your heads bowed, eyes closed. If you prayed that prayer, that's prayer is between you and God. But it's an act of faith. If you have believed, if you've trusted Jesus, it's an act of faith just to acknowledge that in some way. And just to ask you to acknowledge it, if you would, in a quiet way, just while we're all quiet, our eyes are closed here except for mine, would you just slide your hand up and then until I acknowledge it, and then you can bring it down again. Yes, amen, amen, amen. Thank you. Anyone else in the back? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I see that. Thank you. And in the very back, yes. Thank you. Father, you are looking way past our hands to our hearts. And Father, I thank you that right now you are applying by your Holy Spirit and by the Word of God assurance into the hearts and minds of those who have responded to your gracious invitation to come. Father, I thank you for that, and I bless you for it, and I pray that each one would know you in fullness, that their love for you would be increasing day by day, and that they would walk with you in great freedom and victory all the days of their lives. Father, I pray for them, protect them by the power of your name, and Father, overflow in their lives in such a way that they have great and godly and good influence on those around them. And Father, I pray that you would do that in Jesus' name. Amen.